Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Are you ready to study the Word a little bit? All right, take your Bibles. We're not going to be in Matthew this morning. I know some of you are already ready. You got your Bible open to Matthew, don't you? Actually, this morning, I just want to share with you from two verses of Scripture. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance. On May the 5th, 1868, General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, first celebrated and called for the celebration of Memorial Day. He called for the graves of the Civil War veterans, those who had died, to be decorated. That's how it all began. From that point in time up to the 1970s, it was always celebrated on the 30th day of May. But in 1971, the law was reaffirmed. And when it was affirmed as the fourth or the last Monday of May, creating a three-day weekend every single year. Since that time, Memorial Day has come to mean a long weekend, the beginning of summer, family gatherings, retail sales, and just about everything, but really remembering those who have served our country and died in battle. So I want to just take just a moment to help you to remember those who have died in service to the country. And then I want us to pray for their families. In the Civil War, there were 750,000 who died. The Afghan War, which is our most recent, there have been 2,216 deaths. As of March 30th, 2020, there have been 90 soldiers killed in Operation Freedom Sentinel. That's what's going on right now. Get this number. Since 1775 to today, 1,354,664 total military deaths. That's only those that died in battle, not those who died by the diseases that many got during World War I and World War II. And they were actually part of that number and made that number grow even more. But those who actually died in battle, 1,300,000, have given their lives for you and I to have this privilege today. I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, to stand with me one more time in honor of those who have given their life. You know, sometimes we forget how expensive freedom is. Many times it is not until we personally lose somebody that we love or know that this really dawns on us of how big it is that someone would lay down their life for this country. Help me pray. Father in heaven, this morning we come to you with thanksgiving in our heart that there have been those in years past, and even in this last week, who were willing to give of their whole self for our freedom. You said, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. I thank you this morning that you are still raising up young men and women who are willing to serve, to stand in the gap for our freedom. All politics aside, everything else aside, thank you for those who are giving their lives for each one of us to have this freedom today. We join our hearts together and we pray for their families. Moms that have watched their young sons go off to war and their young daughters go off to war and not come home. We can only imagine the grief that they feel. We can only imagine the hole that is in their heart. But I pray today that you would minister your peace, your strength, as they carry on. And Lord, may they know that at least here and from this group of people that we care, and we're thankful that they were willing to give their life for our freedom. And we ask your blessings right now upon each and every one of their homes in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. On this Memorial Day, if you'll allow me, I want to take you to a couple of verses of Scripture that are found in the 25th Psalm that the Holy Spirit illuminated to my heart for us. It's David's prayer for God's remembrance. And perhaps you will identify with his prayer. And I pray that whether you're here in this parking lot or whether you're watching online, that you would commit these couple of verses to your memory and to your heart. They're great verses to pray. And I pray that they will lift you up. Remembrance is both passive and active. Passive remembering is being aware of, but not acting upon the awareness. I think that sometimes is our case when it comes to people who are serving and who have died for our country. We're aware, but we don't stop and take the time to remember. In other words, to let it actively affect our lives. On days like this, we're busy making our plans for another celebration quite often and for being comfortable, living in the freedoms that their life and service have brought to us. There's passive and active. Active participation is remembering and engaging to an actual accomplishment. I believe you'll agree with me as I unfold this prayer that what we're looking for from the Lord is active remembrance. That he would not only hear us as we pray, but that he would act upon that remembrance. In the sixth verse of Psalm 25. And you'll bear with me because the wind is already picked up. It does every Sunday when I preach. If you ever need a wind, just let me know. Some of you say you're full of it. Yes. The cry in verse number 6, David says, O Lord, remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love. The psalmist is calling upon the Lord to remember his own attributes. We're well aware of the attributes of the Lord. His omniscience, his all knowledge, his omnipresence, his ability to be everywhere, his omnipotence, his all power. Part of his very nature is love. John says, God is love. Part of his nature is mercy. He is the God of all mercy. God's mercy is on display throughout the Word. In the book of Genesis, you can see in his life and journey with Abram. If you remember, the two angels were coming to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abram started with 50 and said, if there's 50 righteous men, will you not destroy the city? And the Lord said, yes, out of mercy, unmerited favor, tender pity, God desiring to save mankind. If you remember, Abram got all the way down to 10. He said, if there's just 10, will you save those cities? And the Lord said, yes, I'll save those cities for 10. But when the angels got to Sodom and Gomorrah, they couldn't find 10. All they could find was Lot and his wife and their daughters. Even their daughters' espoused mates did not want to come along. And even Lot and his wife didn't really want to leave the glory of Sodom. And the angels grabbed a hold of them and took them out. God's mercy. When David had sinned, not with Bathsheba, but at the end of 2 Samuel, in counting the forces of Israel, God was going to punish, and he gave David a choice. There's an interesting thing. Choose your punishment, Lloyd. He gave him the choice. But David said, let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. I hope this morning that you are not presuming upon the mercy of the Lord, but rather that you are by faith counting on the mercy of the Lord. There's a difference. If presuming, in other words, you're living however you desire to live because God is a God of mercy, that's one thing. Or to know that he is a God of mercy and to be living according to, well, I like the way Thomas Watson put it. He says, mercy is not for them that sin and fear not, but for them that fear and sin not. I like that. Give it to you one more time. Mercy is not for them that sin and fear not, but for them that fear and sin not. My Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to understand he's a righteous God, but he is a merciful God. And if we are reaching out to him and living our life for him, though we are sinners, he will wash the sin away. I like that statement. He says, remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. What he's saying there, they are from eternity past to eternity future. God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Another way to say that is, you can count on him. Hallelujah. Edwin Hubble Chapin said it like this. He said, mercy among the virtues is like the moon among the stars, not so sparkling and vivid as many, but dispensing a calm radiance that hallows the whole. It is the bow that rests upon the bosom of the cloud when the storm is past. It is the light that hovers above the judgment seat. Living our lives by faith means that we are living, believing, and trusting that God is a God of mercy this morning. Whether you're here in this parking lot or whether you're listening online or watching online, let me tell you this morning, there is no sin. There's nothing too great. There's nothing in your past. There is nothing that is impossible for God to take away. And he desires to take it away by his mercy and his love. The psalmist reminds us, and other scripture reminds us, that God is not obligated to be merciful. over in Exodus chapter 19, and a quote in Romans chapter 9, verse 15, says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Romans 9, 16 says, it does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. This isn't about what you and I can do. It is about what you and I will release God to do. He wants to be merciful to you this morning. He wants to take the sin off of your life. He wants to relieve you of the guilt. He loves you. He cares about you. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough to in any way earn his love or his mercy. It is because it is his attribute. And as we come in alignment to him, it flows in our lives. Hallelujah. I'm under the waterfall of his mercy and love this morning. Are you? Praise the Lord. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. I'm going to ask you, if you would, those of you that are here with me, and if you're sitting at home watching, maybe you can do it as well. We won't tell anybody. You're talking to yourself in the room. But let's say that a couple of times, could we? Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. One more time. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. One more time. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Hallelujah. My hope, my prayer for you is that you will learn to pray that. Even as David did, even as we're announcing it here this morning, that it would become part of your prayer life. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love. It is a grand way for you and I to step into the presence of the Lord as we are reckoning with who he is, who we are, and his willingness to receive us as we are, and then to cleanse us and wash us. Oh, verse number 7 takes the next step, and oh, what a powerful, just the first part of it. He says, remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. Is there an amen? It would seem that as David's writing in this, he was an old man. More than likely, when he wrote the 25th Psalm, he was old. Because he makes this statement as only one who is older can make it. I believe even the call for mercy comes as we get a little bit of age, where we recognize that we are sinners saved by his grace, by his mercy, by his blood. Maybe we need to fail for a while before we truly recognize how much God is doing for us. Knowing David's life, as we do just glimpses of it from the Word, some of his sins of his youth are exposed to us. Hey, imagine this morning. What if a book was written, distributed out to everybody, rewritten and rewritten and rewritten for, let's say 2,000 to 3,000 years, that had all your sins listed, especially the big ones. How many are in favor of that? Nobody? No, most of us here, we're counting on the secrecy of the Lord. Lord, don't tell anybody, huh? We're counting on his forgiveness and taking those sins away and casting them as far as the east is from the west. But let me tell you something this morning. We should be ever aware that we are sinners. By his grace, we are saved. Part of your prayer life and my prayer life needs to be that you and I acknowledge that we are sinners. Lord, remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. In other words, the things that I did back then, but also the stuff that I've done more recent than that. You know that attitude that I expressed. You know those words that I said. Even the thoughts. You say, well, you mean God's going to hold us against us, our thoughts? No, but too often we manifest the thought life that we have. It's not very long if we concentrate our thoughts on any given thing that before long we're acting it out. And we need to acknowledge, my Bible says, bring every thought into captivity. How do I do that? Well, one can be that we acknowledge, God, that's not your way. Remember not the sins of my youth or these rebellious ways that I keep getting caught in. Charles Spurgeon said, the world winks at the sins of young men, and yet they are not so little after all. The bones of our youthful feasting at Satan's table will stick painfully in our throats when we're old men. He who presumes upon his youth is poisoning his old age. How large a tear may wet this tear, may wet this page, as some of us reflect upon the past. I know I've heard some of your story out there. You're glad that there are not books written down for everybody to read of the things that you did when you were young. But hear me this morning, our Lord knows them all. So it pays for us today to say, remember, O Lord, the sins of my youth. Remember the things that I did before I met you. Remember, O Lord, and remind me often that I don't go back there and reinstitute those sins in my life. May I be free from those things. May I be free to walk with you. May I be free from the guilt that I carry. And even the reaping that sometimes must be done because of the sowing that I did when I was young. And Lord, also, my rebellious ways. You know, when you said to me, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I failed to come. When you called to me in the night hour and you said, come and visit with me, fellowship with me, and I refused to come. When you gave me opportunities to concentrate on nothing but you, and I took the time to reflect upon other things, giving my attention to other things and taking my mind off of your spirit and your desire, forgive me, Lord, for my rebellious ways. I was counting on the fact that no one was looking, but I know you were looking. Listen, church, it's time for us to acknowledge our sin, because you will not appreciate, you will not be thankful, you will not remember what the Lord has done for you, the dying part, I'm saying. You will not remember the penalty that he paid so that you and I could be set free if you don't remember that you are a sinner. Sometimes I think that we think we're so special that we're going to get to heaven on our own merits. You and I will cross the threshold into heaven and enjoy its wonders and its glories for one thing and one thing only, and that is that Jesus Christ came down to this earth and suffered and died and gave his life so that you and I could be set free from our sin's penalty and could have the glorious presence of the Lord for all of eternity. Horatio Gates Spafford wrote it in this way: my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I want to call you before we move on to the rest of this. I want to call you, if you would, for three times to make this request right here in this parking lot. And if you mean it, the Lord will hear it. Remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways. Come on. Remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways. Will you do it one more time? Remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways. Now, I love the rest of that seventh verse. But in all your love, remember me. Ah. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Come on, I want you to say this one right at the beginning. Will you do that? And maybe just close your eyes if you can and just say it along with me. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Here's where the active remembrance comes in. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Our prayer of repentance, of acknowledgement of our sin, is to be remembered by the love of God, not by his justice. If the blood of the Lord Jesus is covering over my life, then he will remember my sins by his love and not by his justice. Because if I am to get what I deserve for my sins, I will have eternal punishment. But because of the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he gave, I fall into the arms of his love. When I walk through heaven's gates, and I'm going to do it, when I walk through heaven's gates, I will go there looking for one person and one person only, and that is Jesus. Because he is the one. When Thomas said, Lord, Jesus said, I'm going. And where I'm going, you don't know. But you will come. You'll follow me. Thomas said, how do we know? Jesus said, you know, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to take you there. When you get to the gates of heaven, it's not going to be Peter standing there waiting to see if you're going to get in. It's going to be the righteousness of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to give us entrance. It'll be like a stain upon us. It'll be like a seal upon our foreheads. It will be like a power that is within us, that when we walk to the gates of heaven, we will be ushered in part of his glorious presence because of his love, because of his mercy. Hallelujah. I don't know if this turns you on, excites you at all this morning, but it should. It should get under you. It should get inside your remembrance, remembering where you came from, remembering the lostness of who you were before the Lord, and remembering that it is him and him alone who delivers you from your sin and gives you the right to everlasting life. At Jesus' crucifixion, there were two men who were crucified with him. Some picture it, one on his left and one on the right. I'm not sure that anybody really knows, but there were two of them. These two men represent the mass of humanity. Guilty, sentenced, and dying. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Those are more real than anything you and I know to be real in this world. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But I'm pleased to tell you this morning that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Can I get some kind of a witness out of you people? Come on. As I said, these two men that hung there on the crosses beside Jesus, one hurled insults at him, said this, aren't you the Christ?
save yourself and us. If this thing is real, then why is this happening? Ever hear that before? If God is real, then why are all these children dying? And why are people starving? And why is all this bad stuff happening? Same group, same need, same difference. His lack of guilt over his own transgressions caused him to be arrogant and even abusive. His lack of repentance and willingness to turn from his sin to the Savior leaves him hanging. And his death will be the final word on this earth concerning his sinful life. That is the state of humanity without Christ. But the other thief cried out, "Don't you fear God, since you're under the same sentence? We're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the Lord Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Let me give you another way of saying that. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. Remember me. Not according to who I am or what I've done or anything else, but according to your love. Church, and everyone who is listening, maybe by accident you're listening this morning, I want you to know Jesus died for you, for me. There are those who will mock, those who do not understand, those who will cast aspersions upon God. They're going to be all the way to the end. But there will be those who will call upon the Lord and say, "Lord God, have mercy upon my soul. Remember me with your great mercy and love. Remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways, but according to your great love, remember me, O Lord." Whether you're here in this parking lot or watching online or sitting in one of these houses around here that are hearing this on purpose by accident, I say it in that way because the Spirit of God may be piercing the walls, giving you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus this morning. Praise you, Lord. My prayer is that every one of you will be able to sing the chorus of that song. "It is well. It is well with my soul." What a proclamation. It comes by this prayer. "Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord." Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the privilege of taking this prayer from my heart and sharing it with these who I love. On this day of remembrance, may we not forget. No matter how long that we have served you, no matter how long that we have lived this Christian life, O Lord, may we find a place and bend our knee and remember, Lord, that it's by your mercy and your love that we are forgiven. It is according to your great love that we have a place in heaven for all of eternity. And I pray for that one who may be listening right now thinking that the stack of their sins is too great. I pray that they would know the extent of your mercy by your Holy Spirit. And that right now that they would pray that prayer according to your love. Remember me. Remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways. And by the power of the sacrifice of Jesus, may they find freedom this morning, Master. Freedom from their sin, freedom from the burdens of this life, freedom to walk in you all the way into your presence, because your mercies will not end. Your love is everlasting. And you love us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.